You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't over. Right before I die, I gotta...
Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Come on, we need to be careful. How many of your children can, how many of we can be bogged down with relatives, relatives? Come on, somebody. You know, God bless this one particular person. But they're so, and there's nobody in here, but they're so preoccupied with relatives and the things that are going on with relatives. And I'm like, you know, and I talk to them all the time. Like I said, there's nobody in here. Nobody in here, so, you know, and I'm like, you got a calling on your life, amen, and they're all over the place. They can't focus on the calling that's upon their life. Why? Because they're too preoccupied with people. Come on, somebody. And there are things that are, because how many of you got to wait, how many of us going to slow you up? I was in the military, and I was in weapons, and I was a motorman. One of my things that I did, I was a motorman. And the base plate of the mortar was like 50 pounds. I already had a 50-pound backpack on. So when I would have to, when it would be my turn to carry the weight or the mortar, I didn't know I couldn't move as fast as what I wanted to. Oh, glory to God. It was a weight. You cannot run as fast as you want to run because of what? Weights. Can I tell you something? The Bible says, and I'm all over the place now, praise God. The Bible says Adam, what? He walked with God. He walked with God. Come on. When you look in the Bible, I believe the Bible says that Enoch lived all these hundreds of years. Come on, somebody. Then he was not. Why? Yep. The Bible says he walked with God. We're called to walk with God. How many know that you're really not called to do a whole lot of running?
Amen.
Now, we're going to read that. Guess what? You don't run a race, but you're not. You're just sheep. Don't do a lot of running. When Esau showed up to his brother Jacob, and he says, okay, you know, we'll escort you, and they were on horses, and Jacob said, I can't push the sheep too fast, it'll kill them, why? Because sheep got to be paced. God wants to pace you. A lot of times we get out of step with God. God is walking along, come on somebody, all right, come here, son. I want you to make like your God and start walking. All right, and then I'm going to walk with you. All right, start walking. Sometimes we're doing this, and God is walking. So guess what? We got to run to catch up. This is why the Bible says, okay, all right, you shall run and not get weary. You shall walk and not faint. Because there's sometimes God got to extend the special grace for you to run and to be able to catch up. You want me to do all that running. And so God has to extend grace for you to run and to catch up. So, yes, you can run and not get weary. Come on. Oh, glory to God. But really, you're supposed to be walking with God. I don't know if y'all get this. We're not called to always run, be doing all this running. A lot of times we got to run because we got to catch up. Oh, glory to God. You see God pacing the children of Israel, somebody say, in the wilderness.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, walk with God.
Walk with God.
So the Bible says, every weight, every sin that so easily beset us. Come on, somebody. You know, you'll have things that's along the way to trap you. And the Bible says, run with patience the race. Now, everybody in here, you got a race. Come on, he's talking about a course. Everybody in here, you got a race. You got your own course. I remember one time in a vision, the Lord was showing me my wife's course, and I was trying to run my wife's course, and the Lord was like, you can't run her course. That's what I called her. Sometimes you got to let folks run their own course.
That's right.
Okay, all right.
Amen.
All right. In other words, stay in their lane. That was her lane. Opportunity race. Come on, somebody. Don't glory to God. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Somebody say the author and the finisher. Run to St. John 17:4. Somebody, the author, somebody say, and the finisher. What God starts, He finished. Yeah. God ain't quitting along the way. Come on, so God don't stop. He's a finisher, the finisher of our faith, who for the joy. Somebody for the joy.
Joy.
See, look, can I tell you something? Joy is an emotion. That meant that God didn't spend a whole lot of time. The Lord didn't spend no time entertaining negative emotions. That's good. Because He looked at it as joy. What He did for you, He looked at it as a joy. He got excited about doing it. He got excited about dying on the cross for your sin, somebody. That was joy. That was joy for Him. You know, come on, somebody in here, you was told that you had to die for somebody, your emotions will be all over the place. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. But the Bible says, the Bible says joy. Okay. For the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. Yes. Endurance. Somebody say endurance. Despising the shame. Glory to God. Now hold up now. He's king of the world. He's God. He's the Son of God. And you despise. Oh, glory to God. That's like saying you hate shame. A lot of us, we get shamed real easy, but the Bible says He hates shame. He hated the shame. Is this good or what? It's good to me. It's junk. I'm telling you this. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, glory to God. I'm just going to follow the Lord now. Whatever, you know, I'm just allowing Him to change and make changes and all of this stuff. I'm hoping y'all get this. Hallelujah. Okay. Now I try to get back to my notes. All right. Okay. All right. 17:4. Did you read that?
I have glorified Thee on the earth. I have finished the work which Thou gavest me to do.
Jesus said, now listen now. Jesus said, I glorified. He's talking to the Father. I glorified You here. Somebody say, on the earth. Glory to God. Read.
And now, O Father, glorify Thou me.
Hold on. I have glorified You. Read what?
I have glorified Thee on the earth.
Uh-huh.
I have finished the work.
I have finished. I have finished. I didn't quit. I didn't start. Some of us have quit on things. You got people that quit on life. You got people that quit on, you don't have, now the Lord may tell you to quit a job. He told me to quit a job. You throw that out there. I don't know about, you know, hallelujah. When He gave me the green light to leave the space, to leave the space center. So, hallelujah. But I'm just saying, I know people that quit. I mean, it's like my God, that four or five jobs, seems like they had four or five jobs in 1 year. They quitters, come on. They quitters. You got people that quit in life. We got what? Assisted death now. People that give up, come on, and give people permission to take their life. You got people that commit suicide, come on. Oh, glory to God, they're quitting. How about the man in the jail, in the prison, come on. He was about to quit, come on. But anyways, I ain't got time to go there. Yeah. I'm all off. No, I ain't off. I'm just following the Lord. Hallelujah. Quitters. Somebody say, ain't no quitting me. Oh, glory to God. I believe every time you say it, something's happening in you. Oh, glory to God. See, can I tell you something? You got to have enough word in you that when a negative thought comes, that word will combat that negative thought. Let me say that one more time. You gotta have enough word in you that when something sticks its head up, when the enemy begins to speak in your ear, you got enough word in you to combat. Come on, somebody, to go against that negative thing that you're hearing that will say. Okay, all right. Believe me. As a pastor, I've heard a lot of negative things trying to run up in this head. Oh, glory to God. But it was the word that combated what I was hearing. Oh, glory to God. when the devil would say, you ain't gonna never have no money. Come on.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Even today.
Jesus.
When I came around the corner with my cell phone and I looked and I'm like, where is everybody? What's going on here? I'm glory to God. And the enemy tried to put a thought in my head and I said, devil for my trouble.
Amen.
I decree and declare, we see food.
Yes.
Come on. You gotta have enough word in you that and discernment. Somebody say and discernment. That you can recognize when the devil's speaking and trying to discourage you and come against what? Your emotions. See, the devil wants to get you going in a direction. Oh, glory to God. Emotion. Get you going in a motion. And then next thing you know, you look up and you say, how did I get way down this road? You're kind of like, who was that? Elijah. Got so far, I had to turn around and go back. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody get anything out of this? Alright. Tell somebody there's no quit in me.
Oh,
glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm gonna say that a lot, so get used to it. You may bust out laughing, that's gonna be joy popping up in you. Amen. Alright, there it is. It's working out there.
It is, okay.
Yeah,
man.
Oh, glory to God. Did I tell you to go to Acts 20:24?
No.
Acts 20:24?
Just
good. Just did. All right. Trying to get back to my notes now. But have your way, Spirit of the Lord God. Hallelujah.
Acts 20:24 reads, but none of these things move me.
Uh-huh.
Neither count I my life dear unto myself.
Uh-huh.
So that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God.
Amen. Now he's talking about finishing his race. Go to 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7. 2 Timothy 4:7.
And it reads,
uh-huh.
I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course.
Okay, so you see that Paul is talking about the race. And he had been in ministry for a little hot moment, but he was talking about the race, this course. And then he comes back and then he says, I've finished my race. Oh, glory to God. I'm a finisher. Just like Christ Jesus was a finisher, I'm a finisher. I don't know if you got a calling on your life. Come on. I've been around long enough to see a lot of people start ministry. Oh, glory to God. And this is no throw off. I'm just preaching. The Lord told me to talk about finishing. Amen. I've been around a lot of friends, amen. They didn't count the cost. Come on, somebody. They started, but they did. How many know the enemy? The enemy knows, and not saying that they not, you know, they had callings on their life.
Yes.
But you gotta have endurance.
Yes.
You gotta be able to finish, because guess what? There's gonna be hard times. The enemy is gonna stick his head up. Come on, somebody. The enemy is gonna jack flat you. You know, just like I walked in here and it's like, what the world is going on? Where's everybody at? I know everybody's been on a lot of people school shopping. You know, sometimes when we take a vacation, it's everybody else's license to take a vacation.
Yes.
We know that by now. Amen, somebody. But you got to be a finisher.
Yes.
You got to look at things and call those things that, you know, hey, you can't call it what the enemy wants you to call it.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. You know, I love to say when it look like I'm losing, I'm really winning.
Yes.
Somebody, I'm winning. I'm a winner. Tell somebody I'm a finisher.
I'm a finisher.
I know that sometimes we don't always recognize that there are things in us that keep us from finishing. Okay. I'm going to say that again. Go to Genesis chapter 35. Sometimes we don't recognize that there are things in us that keep us from finishing. Oh, glory to God. Genesis 35. Let's go there.
And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there.
Okay.
And make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother.
Okay. All right. Who's God? Read a little bit further down the page.
Then Jacob said unto his household, and all to and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean and change your garments. Let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God, who answered me in the day of my distress, and was with me in the day in the way in which I went.
Now look at this now. Look at this now. Jacob had already had an experience with God. An introduction to God. Come on, somebody. Oh, glory to God. Because I really wanted to start further down the page, but you know, I'm glad you started there. Alright. Because let me say this, his family didn't know God like he knew God. He was really, it's really like a little picture of a shepherd leading people to Bethel, which means house of God, house of bread. Oh, glory to God. And so, because, and so here he is, he's taking his family, and they're on their way to Bethel, house of God, house of bread. Now, jump down to verse 16, and the Bible says what?
And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to go.
There was but a little ways to go to what?
Ephrath.
They were on their way to, they had gotten to Bethel, come on, and now they were leaving Bethel. Somebody say house of God, because let me show you something. When you get born again, when you get saved, that don't mean that you just to stay, somebody say, at the door, at the foot of the cross, but he wants you to go on to Ephrath, which means what? Fruitful. God wants you to go to a place of fruitfulness. And so all of a sudden the Bible says that there were just a little ways to go. Sometimes we get stuck in the middle. We get stuck between, come on, entering in or glory to God and going to fruitful. See, the enemy will fight you all the way to fruitfulness. Read.
And Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor.
Okay.
And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, Fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin.
Let me say this, she died. Just a little ways to go. She died, somebody said, because can I tell you something? There was little in her. Sometimes we got little in us. Sometimes we don't have enough to make the journey to go out to a place of fruitfulness. Oh, glory to God. All right. Well, let me tell you, let's go back and examine her life. Come on. She was spoiled. The Bible says that she was favored by her dad. Everybody, you know, favored her because she was so beautiful. She was covetous. Amen. Her sister's son, her nephew would go out and get mandrakes. Oh, glory to God. But she was coveting her sister's mandrakes. Come on. She was a liar. Oh, glory to God. She was a thief. She stole her daddy idols. Oh, glory to God. And then after she stole her daddy idol, she lied. She almost got the whole family killed. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. But her daddy showed up with an army. Come on. Oh, glory to God. She would throw temper tantrums. Amen, somebody. But she couldn't have any children. She told Jacob, give me children or I'll die. I'll take myself away from you. Okay, all right. Oh, glory to God. She was always competing and competitive with her sister. Come on, somebody. Somebody say little. See, can I tell you something? If you're going to go on to the, if you're going to go to the next level, you got to get the little out of you. Oh, glory to God. I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
If we're going to go to the next level, we got to get what? Somebody say the little out of us. Oh, glory to God. You got to be willing to get, and this is why we we're in a time, I believe, that, you know, we're kind of looking and we're seeing all the darkness, but we're in a time where I just believe that God promotes his people in the midst of darkness. Arise and shine, but our light is coming. The glory of God is risen upon you. Come on, glory to God. In darkness, God put his glory upon his people. We tell somebody, we don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. We want the glory. Come on, somebody. We want the weightiness of God, the splendor, the magnificence, the glory, the power. Come on. We want these things. Come on. But we got to make capacity move. We got to be willing to get the little out of us. Somebody say, Lord, take the little out of me. Come on. I freely give it. Oh, glory to God. I yield it to you. I let you take it out of me. See, the word let, can I tell you something? The word let is a permissive word. It's a permissive word. Let is a permissive word. It is God speaking to his creation in the beginning of time, in the beginning of the time that we know from the Bible, because guess what? Because, you know, God, you know, he didn't have an ending in it, you know. But anyways, here's God speaking to his creation saying, let there be light. Come on. Let the atmosphere, let the waters rise up and divide in the waters, and the waters create an atmosphere. Let the waters flow back off the land. Hold on now. He's speaking to creation. He's speaking to us. Okay, God will speak to you and say, let me do this in your life. You have an opportunity to stay jacked up. Come on, somebody. You have an opportunity to let and allow God to change your life. I almost heard a preach coming on here. Y'all might want to pray for me. I said, I feel a preach. I didn't say that. So, can I tell you something? Because really, Genesis chapter 1, God is talking about you from the very beginning. God is talking about man from the very beginning. The Bible says in the beginning, God created the heavens. Somebody say, and the earth. The heavens. I know some of your Bibles are taking the S, they're taking the S off of heaven, and they just say heaven, but heavens, plural. That's why I like the King James version. Oh, glory to God. He's talking about the first, second, and third heaven. Come on. Oh, glory to God. Paul talked about a third heaven, and so he's talking about a place where he resides. Come on, somebody. Outside of the universe. Come on. And then you have the second heaven, space, and what do you call that? You have the stars and the moons, or what do we call it? And then you have the heaven that we look at, the sky. We have, you know, the sky, the upper part of our atmosphere. But the Bible says he created that, and he created the earth. Point to yourself. And the Bible says the earth was without form and void. You didn't have the form of God. Come on, we're talking about you. You didn't have the image and the shape of God. You was a sinner, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You were shaped in iniquity, by iniquity. Come on. And all of a sudden, when you were a professional sinner, come on. God is talking about you. And the Bible says, that the earth was born empty. Come on. We were empty of God. Come on. You didn't have God on the inside of you. Come on. Not until you said, Lord, I repent of my sins. I make room for you. Okay, all right. We're just trying to run through this real quick. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Then God called for light.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Divided the light from the darkness. But guess what?
Yeah.
There are times when you will come to a place, hallelujah, where you gotta make a choice whether you're gonna stick with darkness or you gotta go with the light. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Oh, glory to God. And so the Lord said, let there be light. Come on. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the Spirit of God, let's back up. The Bible says the Spirit of God was moving across the face of the water. The water. Water symbolic of the Word. Come on. The Bible says that the Word of God would run about a preacher's belly like what? Running rivers of water. The Spirit of God activated the Word in my belly. Come on, somebody. On this morning. And so now I'm releasing it. It's running about of my belly. Somebody say, like running rivers of water.
Yes, Lord.
And then God said, let there be light. My God. Because guess what? I was sitting up in the church one day and a light came on. I realized that Jesus Christ was Lord. He was Savior. He was God. Come on, somebody. And I had to make a choice whether to remain in darkness or gravitate towards the light. I made a choice to serve the Lord. All of a sudden, my God, then God began to make a division in my life. The Bible says he told the water to roll back off the land. Hallelujah. God made a division. Hallelujah. Water symbolic of affliction. There was things that afflicted me and keeping me in sin. All of a sudden, hey. Okay, all right. I can walk you down the page and show you you. Show you in Genesis chapter 1 that God was mindful of you. Come on, somebody. What is man that you're so mindful of him and the Son of Man? My God. God was thinking about you from the very beginning. Hallelujah. Okay, all right. I'm about to teach on that some other time. But I just wanted to show you that you're there. You're right there in Genesis chapter 1. God loved you so much, he snuck it in. He put you in there. He snuck it in there.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Tell somebody if you want to go to another level, you got to be willing to change your diet.
Yes, yes.
Too many durable babies in the body of Christ. Come on. They're just getting, God is able. He'll bring you out. Come on. You've been in the church 20 years. Come on. God will bring you out and you didn't came out yet. Come on. It's time to come on out. Can I tell you something? And then there's a lot of this basic teaching. Come on. That's fine. We need basic teaching. But there are times that we need somebody to say some meat. We need some meat in our diet. Come on. No more durable food or whatever. Durable babies. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. And tell somebody, if you're here and you were a durable baby, you're going to grow up real fast.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because you're going to get some meat. The meat's going to help you to grow up. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Let me see. Where was that? Maybe find me a place that I can get back started again. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Tell somebody, if you're going to go to the next level, you got to be willing to eat at the next level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right. Hallelujah. Tell somebody God is the author and the finisher of our faith.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed our broadcast, and I hope you enjoy our daily broadcast. And if it has been a blessing to you, we would like to give you an opportunity to sow into the ministry. Now, you could use our church telephone number, which is connected to the church Zelle account. The telephone number is 321-358-7455. Also, if you want to send your love offering, love gift through Zelle using our email account, it is vipministries@att.net. Those are for Zelle, but if you would like to Cash App, you can Cash App us at $Victory with an I. In other words, $VICTORI57. We sure hope you enjoyed the broadcast. You could use also that telephone number to tell us if the broadcast has been a blessing to you, or the email address. We'd love to hear from you. God bless you. Our address is 250 North Babcock in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Our Sunday morning services start at 11 a.m.
This is Bible Q&A with John MacArthur, Bible teacher and author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. This is Denny Nugent with a question that is inspired by 1 Peter 3:7, which should be the life verse for all husbands. That's what their wives say anyway. Peter says, "Live with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is a woman, and grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life." But John, help us out here. How do husbands obey that verse?
Well, it's not a popular phrase to say that the woman is the weaker vessel, but it's the facts. Women are weaker physically. Their constitution is weaker in general than men. Men are the providers. Men are the protectors. It's always been that way. That's by God's design. God creates Adam, and then he creates Eve to be a helper. But Adam is the protector. Adam is the head of the wife. That's God's ordained fashion. That's God's ordained plan for a man and a woman. Now, in order to live with your wife in an understanding way, you have to understand that. She needs your strength. She needs your provision. She needs your protection. But having said all of that, you grant her honor because, spiritually speaking, she is not weaker. She is a fellow heir of the grace of life. That is to say, she shares in an equal way the privilege and the honor and the blessing of marriage. So your leadership is